Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. On Saturday in Custer, a massive 28-foot likeness of a pine beetle will be set on fire in a ceremonial response to the bug that's been ravaging forests in the Black Hills. This is the second year for the Burning Beetle, and the event is part of the Bark Beetle Blues efforts using arts to discuss the pine beetle infestation. Joining us on the line are two members of the Custer Area Arts Council's Bark Beetle Blues Committee. They've also helped construct the giant pine beetle. Hank Friedel is a musician and educator, and Hank, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Hey, thanks, Carl. Glad to be here.
Also with us is Frank Carroll, a forest management consultant. And Frank, welcome back to the program.
Good morning.
Well, have you finished building the giant beetle, Hank?
You know, it's ready to go. We've been working on it here on Tuesday nights down at the fire hall, and it's all put together. And on Friday, we're going to start putting the big slash pile that it sits on top of together. And then on Saturday morning, we're bringing in a crane to lift this 28-foot beetle on top of it and get ready to light her off.
Frank Carroll, what is this? What does this look like? What is this massive beetle made out of?
We are so fortunate in Custer to have some really wonderful craftsmen, and among them is a master boat builder from New England whose name is Carl Svensson. And if you can imagine the half of two light Viking longships kind of screwed on top of each other, that's the kind of construction that he used, a sort of a boat plank monocoque construction with a plywood interior. To give the thing strength, but it's very light and very strong, and there's plenty of room for pyrotechnics inside of it.
Now, Frank Carroll, I understand that the wood that's used for this is actually timber that had the pine beetle infestation?
This is real live mountain pine beetle blue wood. It carries the blue fungus, and it's a very blue color. And, of course, the audience won't be able to see that because there's a skin around the beetle. But they can trust us, and people from around here know it's the real deal.
And Hank, how many people does it take to build this beetle?
Oh, over the course of the last couple of months, we probably had 10, 12 people involved in it. It's gone real well,
So, I bet you're having fun doing this.
Well, you know, it's an unheated building where we're building it, so it's not too much fun, but it's a good time.
Now, this is the second year for this. How did things go the first year, Hank?
Yeah, this is the second year we've burned the beetle. It's actually, we've been doing this for about 3 years. The first year we just had a meeting downtown with music and poetry and song and a conversation. The second year we had the burning beetle, and we're bringing them back again this year.
Well, Frank Carroll, last year, you know, this must have been a big success, and do you see that this may be becoming something, an ongoing tradition in the Black Hills?
You know, we're talking about that because these bark beetle events are cyclical. The whole forest cycle of growth and death and rebirth is sort of the theme of the you know, growth, beetles and fire is the theme of our presentation, our festival here with the Burning Beetle. And we are talking about that. National Geographic came out and covered the story last year. And as you know, they move at a snail's pace getting stories out. It's a big magazine with a lot of forethought and planning. And we've just heard this morning from the chief of staff of the National Geographic photographers that the story will appear in the April issue, which means it'll be released in mid-March, with a picture of the burning beetle from last year. So we may do it one more year. We're talking about it.
Well, Frank Carroll, I was reading a quote from you that you said that this is like your version of the Burning Man.
You know, there are so many places around the world where people burn out the old and bring in the new. The Zobra in Santa Fe is a giant 80-foot figure that they burn at Labor Day. And the Burning Man down in Nevada is another example. And so that's how the Burning Beetle came about. There are a lot of memories about how that might have happened, but my wife was the first person I heard mention it, saying, you know, you guys ought to build a beetle and burn it. And I don't know how it all happened exactly, I don't remember, and it doesn't matter, but we're doing it.
Now, Frank, why January? Is that because of the cycle of the beetle?
Well, January is, it used to be back in ancient history that January was kind of a slow time of year, and it still is in Custer, but it's also the beginning of a new year, and it's, so it seemed appropriate to all of us. It's the safest year to be burning things, safest part of the year to be burning things, and it's also a good time for people in Custer to shake off the midwinter blues and get out and do something fun, so that's why we chose January.
Well, Hank, given the situation with the pine beetles and the forest in the Black Hills, I'm wondering if this process of burning a beetle in particular, if this is somewhat cathartic for people in the southern hills around Custer.
You know, in January in Custer, you're looking for anything to have fun. And so it's going to be a good time. We're going to start up about 3:30 over at the high school, and we've got a program there. We got dancers and music, and Craig Bobzien from the Forest Service and Cheryl Schreier from the Mount Rushmore are going to be talking to kids and answering their questions. We've got a drum corps that's going to lead us outside up the Pageant Hill. People are going to have torches. It's kind of like a scene from Young Frankenstein. And when we get up there, we have fireworks put on by the Custer Fire Department. And when this thing goes off, everybody backs up. It's pretty big. After it's all over, we're going to be heading downtown. We've got four venues downtown with live music, and I think we'll probably all be tipping one.
Now, the committee, the Bark Beetle Blues Committee that you, Hank, are a part of, and Frank as well, a number of events been going on for the past couple of years. How has this helped the area in dealing with the pine beetle infestation? As I understand it, this was a way of getting the arts involved, as a way of dealing with this issue and talking about it?
You bet. We've not only gotten the arts involved, we've also had landowner meetings, we've had book study groups, we've had songwriting opportunities, we've had people writing poetry about it, artwork, and in fact right now at the Custer Courthouse and at the Custer County Library we have art shows that are up focusing on the beetle. What our hope is that we're going to raise some money, and we're trying to put in some sort of an art installation that will commemorate the infestation of the beetles and the changes they've made to the landscape here. So it's really raised awareness about what's going on, and it's really allowed us to have a conversation about something that's really pretty painful for a lot of people and a lot of work for us.
Well, Frank Carroll, from your perspective, how has art and music helped in the discussion of the pine beetle infestation?
You know, there was a time, and people who've been around here for a while remember, when we were all standing around pointing fingers at each other. It's the Forest Service's fault. It's the timber industry's fault. It's my neighbor's fault. And there was no outlet for this slow-moving wildfire that was burning over the top of us, and still is. We still have a very strong infestation in the hills. And so this, interestingly to me, this whole process has changed that conversation. And maybe it would have changed naturally, but it absolutely has changed. And we don't read anymore about how it's somebody's fault that all this happened. Now we're talking about how to deal with the changes that are coming, the big fires that are on the horizon, and cleaning up our communities and so on, so we can get ready for more changes that are sure to come. And so in my view, it really changed the conversation in a positive way.
And Hank, for you as well, did you see that this has just changed that conversation and people aren't pointing fingers so much anymore?
Well, it's got us all talking, and, you know, that's a good thing, because it just has opened up so many opportunities for us to just appreciate the area that we live. You know, before, you know, the forest was all green. Now what we're seeing is that the rocks are popping up through the landscape, and Southern Hills is just a beautiful area for the rockscapes that we've got, and it's changed the place that we live.
How about for you personally, Hank, I know that you've written some songs about the pine beetle. I'm wondering how this has affected you personally.
Well, personally, because we're landowners down here, and we've been cutting beetle-infested trees off the property here for a number of years, and so that's been a big impact for us. But also, you know, we write poetry about it. We do songs. In fact, if people want to go to our website, which is theburningbeetle.org, there's a dozen songs there that are recorded, and you can play them all about the bark beetles. There's also a poetry that's available there, and you can see some of the artwork that's been done. By the way, we got a great T-shirt this year, a great design, as we did last year, done by Kate Irwin. And if you show up and you get a T-shirt, you get into the event free on Saturday.
Now, Frank Carroll, you touched on this a bit about the current situation with the pine beetle infestation. It seems, at least in this part of the state, it isn't getting the same amount of attention in the news that it did a couple of years ago, but this is still just as serious as it has been.
It kind of reminds me of the Iraq War, and I'm sad about that because I just took a long series of helicopter flights in October and November, and I flew far to the north, far to the south, all across the Wyoming state line and so on. And at least in a purely subjective view, there's as many beetles out there now as there were last year at least. And the epicenter has moved from a line from Pringle to Custer to Deerfield, Bear Mountain, Deerfield, and on up to Lead and Deadwood, and we're suffering some massive losses across some of the tallest, most beautiful timber we have. This year, for example, we cut down one of the biggest, oldest trees in the Black Hills that died from the beetle infestation. And those things have a personal, professional impact. They do on me. My crews and I just hate taking down those big trees like that, and so we're going to have to live with this for quite a while. One forest supervisor here is thinking that these beetles are moving back into places where they were not, we wouldn't have expected them from our past studies. And I would agree with him. I think that the beetles are coming back into places where they kind of missed lunch before. One thing we do know is that we are going to have a living, healthy, beautiful forest when this is all done, but there are going to be a lot of changes to get us there.
When you say when this is all done, can you make any predictions at this point when that might be?
Yes. I'm just as good as the academics on this point, and I can tell you that the longest recorded attack that we've had in the Black Hills ran about 20 years. And this coming cycle will be about the 19th year. So I believe that within 2 years, it's going to stop dead.
And
which I fervently pray it does. And by the way, that's how these beetle infestations stop. You wake up one summer in August, and you look around, and you don't see any beetle hits. And they just stop. I've seen it many times in my 40-year career in forestry, and it's the most surprising thing. So I fully expect one day soon we'll just wake up and the bark beetle problem will be over. And then we'll have different kinds of problems like fires and fuel reduction and what to do with all the trees falling on the highways and roads and so on. But that's in the future, and right now we're focused on burning the beetle.
Burning the beetle, and that takes place in Custer, beginning at 3:30 at Custer High School. Music and a video of last year's burning beetle. Participants will then march to Pageant Hill, where the beetle is then set on fire. 6:30, the bug crawl taking place in downtown Custer with live music at a number of different venues. Well, Frank and Hank, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday, and I hope all goes well for the burning of the beetle.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carl.